John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. It's a great pleasure to bring my colleague of many years, Richard Fontaine of the Center for New American Security. He's the CEO, writing about American foreign policy, which is a joy because it's part of the larger story we learned as young people when we were being educated about how president to president, epoch to epoch, there are consistencies in American foreign policy. There are even consistencies in the illogic. You can see it repeated again and again because America comes up against hard objects, adversaries. We also have allies who act unhappy with us sometimes. And that's what Richard's writing about right now in foreign policy, how difficult it is to be America's ally. Ally. We're not talking adversaries. We're not going to take on Russia now. We're going to take on allies. Richard, this is a witty column because you identify allies who have reason to be puzzled, especially because the Biden administration has done the right thing and announcing that much of the disorder and chaos of the Trump administration foreign policy, I think deriving chiefly from the fact that the president was not a politician and had not been schooled in foreign policy schools. However, in any event, that was out the door. And what was in the door was characterized by the phrase, "We're back." Well, you identify "we're back" is a puzzle. Let's begin at the one that you identify right away and made me smile. Canada. Does Canada know we're back? How's it going? Good evening to you, Richard.
Good evening to you. Thanks for having me. Canada, one of the very first conversations that new President Joe Biden had was with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. They had a virtual summit that went very well. And in contrast to President Donald Trump, who seemed never to pass up an opportunity to slam our Canadian friends, you could almost feel the sense of relief on the Canadian side to not be disparaged and so forth. And so the tone has been very welcome, very different. The thing that I tried to point out is tone's not everything. And the day after the president's call with Justin Trudeau, he terminated the Keystone Pipeline. That's the one that would transport Canadian oil to the Gulf of Mexico. It's politically popular in Canada. It's economically important. And then he put into place a Buy America executive order that might bar Canadian suppliers from bidding on U.S. government contracts. And now Trudeau says he wants an exception for the Canadians and things like that. And so the point here is that the policy, even policy that really has nothing to do with Canada per se, I mean, those were driven by environmental concerns and domestic job concerns and so forth, can splash back and have an effect on the ability to manage our alliances.
This is, if I understand it, domestic politics directing the president's decision with foreign policy, and the foreign policy in this case happens to be at odds with the ambitions and the expectations of our best ally, right? I mean, can we underline the fact that our trading partner, Canada, our chief consumer of our goods, and a completely open border, our best ally, and if I recall correctly, Mr. Trudeau was nonplussed. At the same time, he had to explain it to his citizens, who lost many more jobs than we do, I believe, or saw many more jobs put at risk because of this decision. There have been complaints for some time now, but I don't believe it's going to come to a breakdown in relations. Is that correct, Richard?
Yeah, there won't be a breakdown in relations. And, you know, this is not the first time and won't be the last time when allies, even really close allies, have policies that get in the way of getting closer still, particularly on the economic side when countries pursue, at least with their political leaders, judge to be domestic economic interests. But the upshot is that if the United States is going to, you know, exclude even allied countries from access to particular American contracts and procurements and things like that, then they may do the same thing, or it may put a crimp in the otherwise generous and open tone of the new alliance first approach of the new administration.
Remember, we're talking about allies here. These are friends of the United States. These are people we work with. So we move to what Richard identifies as more quandaries. Nord Stream 2. Do I need to say more than that, Richard? Nord Stream 2.
So Nord Stream 2 is this pipeline that would deliver Russian energy from, well, Russia into Western Europe, and the Germans have been a big supporter of this. This is exactly the opposite of what American policymakers across the spectrum would like to see, because they believe that Western Europe needs to diversify away from a dependence on Russian energy supplies, so as to free up their ability to have a more independent foreign policy with respect to Russia, not double down on their dependence by making it easier to move energy from Russia to Western Europe. And so this is an example of not an ally sort of looking at the United States with puzzlement, but rather the United States looking at an ally with puzzlement. Because here, you know, again, Germany is a good example of a country that that Donald Trump never passed up an opportunity to disparage. It was a very testy relationship over 4 years. In comes the Biden administration. They immediately strike a new tone, including with Germany. But the Germans seem dug in on this ill-advised pipeline, and the administration's going to have to figure out what to do about that. And the what to do about it may ultimately mean some form of economic coercion to try to make it stop.
The addition of the EU and China make this a real puzzle, a real puzzle. EU needs the business. They certainly need the growth. China has, it says, money to spend. And yet this is at odds with the Biden administration's beginning but already clear enmity towards China. Can this be solved, or is it just a matter of allies talking past each other?
Well, when you're talking specifically about the EU-China investment agreement, it hasn't gone into effect yet, and I think it's starting to stagger around the boxing ring right now. But importantly, the reason for that is not because an administration friendly to allies came in and made the argument that this could have some downsides, and our allies sort of saw the light. Really, it was China once again kicking the ball into its own goal by sanctioning European politicians, members of the European Parliament, even members of European think tanks and so forth, and really eliciting a lot of anger and distrust on the back of that. So if this thing falls, it'll be much more because of what China has done than what America has advocated.
Human rights. Mr. Biden was clear during the campaign and the inaugural speech and remarks ever since, as the same as his Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, that human rights is a major concern for the Biden administration. And yet you have a list here: the Philippines, Thailand, Hungary, Turkey, we could go on, Saudi Arabia, certainly. All of those countries practice human rights that we regard as unacceptable. Now, we are not going to break relations with them. Is there any change to your understanding for the Biden administration than the Trump administration carrying on with what used to be called hypocrisy?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, the Trump administration, certainly the President Trump, put almost no importance on promoting democracy and human rights, especially among countries where other things were at stake, economic or security interests, as opposed to, you know, one more way to criticize Iran and Venezuela and others. And of course, the dilemma, or the some of the trade-offs associated with promoting democracy and human rights among friendly autocrats or countries that are not doing particularly well on that front, and continuing to deal with them on all the other interests and issues we have at stake. That's not a new dilemma. It's always been there. It'll always be there. The difference now, though, is, you know, the Trump administration was sort of unencumbered by the desire to elevate democracy and human rights among our allies, and so it could just pursue these other interests. The new administration does, I think, quite appropriately want to elevate the importance of these issues, and you're not going to get everything you want. So I think, for example, Saudi Arabia is a good example of a country where the administration has been very specific about some of the things it's wanted to see, including the release of women from prison who had been protesting peacefully, and it's gotten a couple of folks released on that basis. But I think you're going to see more of that.
You have a quote from the late George Shultz that's It's very helpful to understand, but I'd like you to translate for us, please. Mr. Schultz, in talking about the business of diplomacy, called it tending the garden, and then there's this additional quote. Any good gardener knows you have to clear the weeds out right away. Who are the weeds, Richard?
Well, the weeds are the issues the problem issues, the ones that will crop up and threaten to strangle the greater good in your alliance relationship. So tending the garden is the reference to this notion that you don't just fly into a place and when you need a country, you need an ally to help you with something, to do something, to avoid doing something that it wants to do, whatever it is. And that's the first conversation you have with them. You have to tend the garden. You have to build these relationships of trust over time with your key counterparts. But and that is absolutely true, but you got to clear out those weeds too. And so you need to identify just how problematic some of these other issues might be. How much does it really matter to country X, Y, or Z, to ally X, Y, or Z, if a move made for domestic economic reasons impacts them? How much is it going to matter if they want to take on something that we don't like Nord Stream 2? How much is it really going to matter if they don't join us in some sanctions regime that we want them to join? Whatever it is, you've got to identify those weeds and try to manage those from the very beginning, if you can.
I'm speaking with Richard Fontaine, the CEO of Center for New American Security, writing most recently in Foreign Policy. We have not avoided Afghanistan. We're headed there when we come back. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.